The coins P wouldn't spend had worried a hole through his pocket, so he was jingling them in his fist as he passed the pawn shop that sold foreign liquor by the shot. The bottles were dusty, proof of another life in some formerly rich man's cabinet. "Always the last to go, the liquor," the old pawnbroker said to P. "You know when they bring the whiskey, they've hit the bottom. Sell their wives first, most of them." "This is the real stuff, right?" P asked. "You're not just reusing the bottles?"
"I know the taste of Mekong."
"You tell me."
P drank.
"Fucking gasoline."
"It's from Kentucky, USA," the old man said, holding the indecipherable label out to P. "Well, in Kentucky, USA, they must use this to run cars."
P spread the rest of his money on the glass cabinet.
"Another?"
Nam had given him a deadline. 30 days. That was how long he had to make them a living. Tucked in P's breast pocket was a page from a free Chinese calendar, the number smudged by sweat. 16 inky days already blued away by his thumb. 16 days since he and Nam had come down on the train together, down from the northeast to Bangkok. Since then, Nam had been staying with her last living kin, a cousin, while P roomed at a boarding house apartment with other men from the provinces, what counted to him now as family. They worked security, gardening, driving, all of it better than the wet suck of the rice paddies in the northeast, the shining white flats of the salt pans along the coast, the hot pools of the shrimp farms across the central plains. The men had traded that work for slow days and shade, for nights sharing food on the plastic mat, talking women and money, pooling their daydreams. P contributed what he could, except his worry for Nam. He needed her to himself. 16 days spent.
"Nothing, kid?" the other men asked daily of P, the newest among the six that shared the main room.
The landlord had the bedroom, which was air-conditioned, and standing at the door, P could feel the cool air gracing his toes. He had never seen the room, but in 2 weeks had come to know the life of its sounds, the frequent ding of the microwave, and enduring patter of a TV, which during the day ran Chinese soaps, and at night, porn that kept the other men awake with longing.
"He updates the video monthly," one boarder had told P. "But this month, it's a squealer."
P could hear it wasn't Thai.
"French," the man said. "He likes the Farang women."
His hands cupped imaginary breasts.
"Bigger, you know?"
For 2 weeks, P had listened nightly to the same movie, counting down the VHS's 2-hour capacity, and when he couldn't bear another performance, he forced himself outside. Which is how he found himself, on night 16, hovering by a flower market, drawn there by its fluorescent sting, by the ant line of laborers shuttling huge cane baskets. There was a buyer, too, marked by his good shoes, the way he skirted puddles. P looked for a foreman. He was looking for work. The market was busiest after sundown, without the daytime heat on those neat flowers in foam boxes, petals spritzed, glistening like first-world candy. Not the thorny, twisted sentinels of the up-country temple where P was fostered. Here was something imported from a lush planet.
"China," a laborer told him.
He said the blue anchan and white jasmine buds were local, but the roses and orchids came from abroad. P said he needed work. Anything. The man gestured.
"That's the boss in the blue."
Soon after, P began a hard night lugging flowers by the kilo and baskets from truck bed to stalls, bearing supplies for the wreath makers. Two lines of women with pincers for fingers, threading jasmine buds onto long needles. When he finished that, the foreman had him packing ice. He was the only worker without a cart to trundle the weight, so P managed on his back alone. At the end of the night, he stood at attention before the boss, heels together. He wanted to look tidy, fresh, but his hands were blue from the ice boxes,
left shoulder soaked where it had borne the ice sacks. The man counted out P's pay twice, rubbed each bill between his fingers, and splayed them on the table. P picked up the bills and made a show of looking around the room.
"How much are you paying these men?" he asked, gesturing.
"Don't worry, boy, you're all paid the same."
P divided his money and laid half of it back on the table.
"Yeah, well, I'll work twice as hard as them for half the pay if you'll hire me full time."
"How old are you?"
20,
P lied. He could barely pass for the 18 he actually was, but the man gave him the work anyway. On his way out of the warehouse, P saluted the laborer who had first ushered him in. Then he tucked a vine of bougainvillea under his shirt for Nam. Only by the time he got them to her, the papery flowers had turned to pulp in his palms.
"She liked them," she assured him.
"Let's have breakfast at that stall you like," he said. "My treat." The sun had risen by now, but the city buildings wreathed in smog eclipsed the show. He paid extra for one egg each to stir onto the murk of their porridge.
"Flowers like you've never seen before," he told Nam. "The expensive ones they keep in refrigerators like food."
She twined the bougainvillea in her fingers and picked at her porridge. P shook white pepper into his, then vinegar and soy sauce. He offered her the condiments.
"No? You want it plain like that?"
She wasn't hungry.
"But eat the egg, at least."
He didn't want to remind her of the price of food. 3 weeks into the monsoon season and still no rain. Even in Bangkok, people looked hopefully at the clear skies.